Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on The Score.
Brawling Sports, who makes the gloves, sends out a tweet. Check out Manny Machado's gloves for this season, exclamation point. Where do you think he is going to play this season? Is the black and white a sign? ? Hashtag Team Rawlings. And they are White Sox colors, black and white gloves.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay
Wow.
And BetOnline just released that Manny Machado, the favorite, he's a minus 150 favorite to sign with the White Sox.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
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 But I mean, those
wow.
are White Sox colors.
Well, fellas, the Yankees also have black and white colors.
Pinstripes are blue.
It's, well.
I have light gray, medium gray, dark gray.
You do?
My bad. I'm colorblind.
Judd Surratt is our guest.
Before we get started, I'm just curious. Danny, do you like Blackhawks blue or Bruins blue better?
Oh, that's a great question.
Am I going to have to get you a color wheel?
Yeah. Let's. That might be helpful, yeah.
That suit is black, not.
This suit is not black.
No, not has to be the end.
Okay. This suit is black, not
colored. The Yankees also have black and white.
Wrong.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I've had some silly and stupid debates doing this job. The color of the Yankee pinstripes is high up on the list.
Like the color of blood in the moonlight, it appears quite black. Those pinstripes for me and others are so narrow on those Yankee unis, they look black.
It's midnight blue.
It is midnight blue, but it appears quite black.
Okay. I that was the thing. It wasn't just you. There were so many people on the text line who agreed that the Yankee pinstripes were black.
They call it midnight blue, which is the exact color the Bears use in their promotional literature to describe the colors of their uniforms, their helmets in
black
particular.
Black and orange.
Midnight blue.
Okay.
They call it, see, you just said black.
I was kidding.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were serious.
The Bears do not wear black.
All right, I need a color wheel. You need an animal identification wheel.
That's right.
Shep needs a geography wheel. Tanny, what wheel do you need? You got anything you're particularly challenging?
Steelers wheel is fine.
Oh, my ear hurts just hearing the name of that band from Reservoir Dogs, Michael Madsen. God, did he sell that role. My God. Every time I see him in any movie, I fear the worst. Even
really?
In Free Willy. I watched Free Willy with Patrick the other night. I said, you know, this kid, Jesse, little Patrick Kane, is being a real bag to his wannabe stepfather, his foster parent. And I'm saying, okay, how many times does this kid have to be bad and unwilling to accept the love of this guy before he gets lit on fire?
You think that's an appropriate punishment?
Every time he picks up the ear and says, hey, hello, I'd laugh every time.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, God. No, I don't think it's an appropriate punishment. That's my point, is that
he sold
that role so well. I always think he's going to just, you know, brutalize somebody. Can't trust Michael Madsen in any role.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. Oh, God. So the poll question right now, do you think Manny Machado is going to be on the White Sox this year? It is, we're 1,100 votes in. It's been up for about 3 hours. 58% responding say yes.
Okay.
He's going to be a member of the
White
Sox.
I voted yes also.
Okay.
It's ordained. It has to happen.
It feels like it's going to happen. But
anything can happen.
And it wouldn't be unprecedented. Although in this case, I guess it would.
In this case, it would
be. None of it was unprecedented. Not only had it all happened before, but it's happened in greater measure.
You know who's expecting it and wants to be the first to know is the son of our program director, Mitch Rosen-Ben, who's a freshman at Ball State. He said that, you know, in his lifetime, the White Sox big free agent signing was in broken down Ken Griffey Jr.
Sure.
Dad, please let me know before anyone else does.
Well, I think as long as you're on Twitter, you'll get it pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mitch will have it first.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Yeah, he's plugged in over there.
It was funny. Ben told Mitch, when it happens, if it happens, just call me and let it ring. I'll pick up. I'm like, Mitch, there's nothing else going on but to just sit there by a phone and wait for Ben to pick up. Ben is so young. He was born after the Albert Bell free agent acquisition. It made me feel really old.
Wow. Born now, he's not a millennial. What does that make him? What
Gen Z.
Gen Z. Okay, so Joe Maddon soon has to learn the Gen Z concept.
Forget after the Albert Bell signing. He was signed after Albert Bell was gone.
Yeah,
I know it was
that's
like
right.
2 years. But
he wasn't even alive to see him at 49.
97 wow. and 98, correct?
Sounds right.
152 ribbies in 1 year. Broke the White Sox record, which stood for 60 years before he broke it, I think. Zeke Benora.
Still holds the home run record, which is really unfortunate.
Oh,
but
oh, God.
What's the number?
It's 49.
49. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 49. Of course, he doesn't know it sucks.
No, I was
Isn't
saying
like the
Zeke's.
Quietest 49 home run year ever?
Yeah, they
because,
sucked.
Well, also because of what else was going on in baseball that year.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Brady Anderson hit 40.
Good God. Like his line that year, 399 on base, 655 slugging, 1055 OPS,
those
and somehow finished eighth in the MVP voting.
That's remarkable.
They weren't a factor. You don't often get a ton of MVP. Plus, he was a tool, and that hurts. I don't think it should, but it does.
It definitely shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't. But Judd Zerah was on yesterday. You just heard him in the open. Albert Bell walked by him. Judd tried to get him on the show, and he lifted his leg and farted. That's what kind
Classic.
Of guy Albert Bell was.
I kind of like that, actually.
That's, you know.
You kind of like that, but you hate
how
LeBron?
How can you like, right, or a lot of other things? Like, I'm trying to figure this young man
he's
out.
He's not consistent.
I don't know. It's a different way of telling me no. Some people don't respond to text messages. I would appreciate occasionally just to lift a leg and fart in my general direction. Just at least I get the...
So just like
at
a
least then
gift.
I know what you're all saying. Right. At least it's a response.
Yeah, right. You don't like somebody leaving a room and you don't know where they stand. If you lift your leg and fart, they'll get it.
That's
they won't
true.
Ask again.
Can I quote you on that, Mr. Bill, sir?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do to follow up? He reported back, obviously, on the air that that's what happened?
Yeah, we mentioned it the following day.
That's great.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the fart?
Yeah. And I'm getting very, very close by the hour to mentioning something else that happened off the air recently on the air.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well.
Certain exchanges.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to wait another day.
Okay. Well, that's good. I think that's probably best for all involved.
Breaking up is hard to do, but if it's what, yeah.
Okay.
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 Can't do it at 4.
Yeah, there is that.
What prizes do we have for the guy who asks about it today?
We'll
do we have
see.
Some prizes today?
Score prize packs is what we've got.
Okay.
You're leading that horse to water.
Yeah. What are the score prize packs? All of our possessions that have been thrown in boxes down the hall?
Yes.
We are also disenfranchised here these last few days. It's just weird. There's a
Great,
construction project going on. None of us know where our things are when we get here.
Danny and I enjoyed kicking Shane out of his office this morning. That
so you could
fun.
Prep on your phones.
Yeah, well, Shep beat me here, so Shep had the computer, so I was prepping on my phone in the confined space, and we're sharing the desk and eating. It's kind of fun. It's
a
like
growing pain, yeah.
Yeah, it's like radio summer camp.
Right. Well, we're getting out of these bad facilities. It's just going to, it'll take some time to get there.
That's right.
This is not going to work on Cubs television.
We're going to have new TV-friendly studios for a simulcast, the possibilities and opportunities and all of that. And yes, Cubs TV is launching 1 year from now, February of 2020, ahead of next baseball season.
You teased, you understand the criticisms. And what are those criticisms that you're agreeing with?
Well, Sinclair Broadcast Group has come under significant criticism and scrutiny. And they are on their way to becoming, if they're not already, they own the most television stations of any one broadcast group in the country. And they have
gotten a lot of pushback that in some places has led to resignations of journalists who work at these outlets for pushing mandatory commentary and skewing news coverage conservatively.
Okay.
And as someone who loves journalism and the First Amendment and an independent free press, that's not great. That's abhorrent. I don't like that. Now, what I would say for the Cubs partnership is, were you going to go to the I don't like it, Tanny?
You like it?
I've got an I don't like it idea today, too, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, but what I have been told is that they will have no say whatsoever in any sort of content that goes on the air. And there have not.
Sinclair will not.
Sinclair will
not. The Cubs have complete freedom to program it as they see fit.
And not just programming. So it's not just that Len and JD on the broadcast, you're not going to hear weird political commentary inserted into game broadcasts.
I would expect no political commentary on the Cubs vehicle.
I would as well. But also in terms of commercial inventory, anything on Cubs TV.
Yeah.
And why that matters, the whole reason the Cubs are doing this is that so they can have everything. They don't want to share ad revenue. Right. They don't want to share in the profits. They didn't want to share with, you know, the partners with the Hawks and the Bulls and Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox and NBC Sports Chicago. So they wanted complete autonomy. And if you look at Sinclair, yes, they own a ton of TV stations. But they own ABC affiliates, NBC affiliates, CBS affiliates, Fox affiliates.
Setting up franchises.
They own the Tennis Channel. It's not like I hear a lot of commentary of political slants from tennis fans or anything like that. So they have they got lots and lots of TV stations. I will be, I promise you, among the first to be critical of this if there is any sort of edict of content or a alt-right, extreme right, conservative slant in propaganda, infomercials, late night programming, advertisement. If any of that happens, I'll be critical of it. I honestly do not expect that to happen with Cubs TV.
Well, you know, the Cubs should, I would expect them to have made that clear with Sinclair that they are a sports platform and it is not their desire to loan any of their programming space to that sort of stuff.
Correct.
I would think they make that clear.
I do too. And I think, you know, it came, obviously the Cubs did not know of the Joe Ricketts email story. And so
Right. Optically,
PR-wise, this coming so soon after that
Yeah. Is
not a great look.
Things that make you go,
Exactly. And the other thing I would say is, for sports fans who feel like they are having to confront uncomfortable realities with where their teams are aligned, and the Cubs have been at the forefront with it recently, whether it's Joe Ricketts' emails or the Addison Russell story or Sinclair or whichever of those things pushes you to an edge or makes you squeamish or uncomfortable. I get it. It sucks, but it is not unique to the Cubs. It's just not. I can throw out so many teams and say, if you were a Clippers fan, you had a racist owner in Donald Sterling who settled racial housing discrimination lawsuits. Mm-hmm. How many NFL teams do you think have employed domestic abusers? All of them?
Yes.
Every single
battery
team.
Battery offenders, too, just like Kareem Hunt, who a lot of people hate and are glad is in Cleveland.
And that, I'm not saying any of that to make it okay, but I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf is an investor in Stadium who has a partnership for distribution with Sinclair also. So if there are White Sox fans that are chirping about that, the Mets employed Jose Reyes after his domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. Aroldis Chapman got $80 million from the Yankees after being on the Cubs after he had a domestic violence suspension. The Chiefs, the Giants, the Bears, every team that employed Brandon Marshall, the Bengals, the Cowboys. Like it's just, if you follow the money and you're looking for your sports to be a utopic purity escape, there is no team in sports that you can point to. There just isn't.
There isn't. And I've been floored by the naivete by so many people with the Hunt signing the other day in Cleveland who are saying, good, we don't need those guys in the Bears. Sorry to inform you this. Head out of the sand, fellas. It's already been done. There isn't a guy in that locker room who couldn't have been charged with assault, battery, on multiple occasions in his adult life, since he became of majority age. There isn't an NFL locker room that exists today. There wasn't 30 years ago that didn't have more than one player with more than one thing they could have been arrested and charged and likely convicted for. That is a fact.
And I agree with you. It is a fact. It is impossible to dispute. And I don't think that people have to like it. You don't have to like it. I just think that you are being naive, like you said, if you think that you're only rooting for teams that employ good people their money goes to causes of which you support. Now, again, we are living in unique political times right now. I think that is safe to say. And the Cubs' political situation is more complicated than most. I think that is safe to say because the Joe Ricketts emails, and then of the board of directors, you've got the Trump finance chair and a Republican elected official who is governor of Nebraska. So, yes, the Cubs ownership group is absolutely more political than most. And if you're going to say, I don't want my Cubs money to go anywhere that would fund right-wing political causes that you disagree with, okay. But be careful, because do you know – what about the food processor, the CEO of the beverage company that you drank,
or the clothing brand,
or the card company? We don't know what the CEO of Entercom does with his political contributions. It's a publicly traded company. We don't know. But so I'm just saying that if you are concerned about where your commerce dollars – ultimately end up 3, 4, 5 machinations down the road.
Yeah.
You could do that with any industry that you involve with in your life.
I love your angle, and it's one that I haven't spent much time thinking about with this story, but what I was expecting you to say is when you address complaints and you agree with people as a tease had me on the edge of my seat waiting for Parksy's next take, and it wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting you to say the blowback you've seen is on, whoops, there goes the end of free television. Free television is over. Guess what? Free television has been over for many years. You have been paying for Cubs games, for Sox and Bulls and Blackhawks games. Your NBC Sports Chicago is part of a tier, and it's usually about $10 a month for that tier. This will be included in that.
Well, that's the next part to me, because we don't know yet what the distribution is going to be. And this is a little complicated and it's a little inside media, but right now, if you haven't cut the cord and you have DirecTV or Xfinity or Dish or RCN or whatever, and you pay for cable, you pay for premium cable, and you don't watch HGTV, doesn't matter. You're paying for it. You're not going a la carte. ESPN is the most expensive channel in your cable bundle. So if you don't watch ESPN, but you have cable, you're paying for ESPN. What the Cubs are going to do is they're going to try to get all of those providers that I just mentioned to make your cable bill go up $5, $6 a month so that they can get that money, whether you watch it or not. What will be interesting is, are any of those cable providers, Xfinity, RCN, Dish, DirecTV, going to buck and say no? Too many people are cord cutting that if we say we're raising their cable bill $6 a month and they're not a Cubs fan, they'll cancel their service. And there's a real chance that not this baseball season, but next baseball season, that some percentage of Cubs fandom in the Chicago market will not have clearance, will not be carrying Cubs TV. And so people complaining today...
Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
So people complaining today about who is doing the distribution, what happens if 13 months from now, 14 months from now, you're not able to watch Cubs games because Dish Network decided that they don't want to carry the marquee network? That is absolutely in play. And if you think I'm crazy and you say Cubs fans are too passionate, it's only $6 a month, no one will do that, okay.
You're already doing it.
Well, ask a Dodger fan.
Right.
50% of L.A. can't watch Dodgers games.
50% of L.A. doesn't care about Dodgers games.
I understand
Probably
that.
More.
Okay. But so I get it. It's not as passionate of a fan base, but they have a bigger local TV deal than the Cubs will get. There's more people in L.A. than there are in Chicago. It's the epicenter of Hollywood, and it's the baseball team of record in that city. And millions of people in L.A. who pay for cable – cannot watch Dodger games. Now, the Cubs have no intention of that happening. Let me be clear. They are hopeful that every provider here will get Cubs games, will pay for the marquee network. That's why they're doing this. But it is not a given that they're going to get 100% clearance 1 year from now.
After we break, I want you to address a common theme among texters regarding consistency with your projected protest. You know where that'll go.
That's fine.
There's another angle to the Cubs TV deal I want to get into that has to do with the daily programming. And how it's going, if the jobs are being created, how about that? That's a good thing, and I love this text. You mentioned a food processor and things we don't know about people, and a guy who loves our True Detective Tuesdays says, can we still buy Hoyt chicken?
Wow!
No, you cannot, because of the creepy security director who admires Purple Haze, maybe more than what is typical.
Tanny, why are you texting the show? That was Tanny's line from the meeting.
I said that in the meeting, but I said, at least I know I can still shop at Hoyt Foods and know that my money is okay.
Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets now at NUSports.com. Plenty of reaction coming in. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You know what would be funny? I don't know if they can do this. Just an idea off the top of my head. Why didn't he put on one of those Sherlock Holmes hats and put a little pipe in his mouth? Are they ever allowed to do anything like that, dress up a dog in a funny way?
No, that's not quite what the purpose of these shows
is. But I think it would really get the crowd going. You know what I mean? The Sherlock
Absolutely,
Holmes hat
yes.
with a pipe. I don't know if you could make it look like smoke's coming out of the pipe.
I think that would be a little dangerous.
I'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, fuck! Buck Laughlin.
Best in show.
Of course. I get a kick out of it.
Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets now at NUSports.com.
Programming in a second, but you're going to be all uptight about the Cubs if there's infomercials that are from the reach with Sinclair. Same, you're going to be consistent. You would feel the same if it came from the left, because a lot of people are curious.
Absolutely. Now give me the example.
They don't have one. I'm just
right.
saying if it were from the left, would you be as upset?
I understand that, yeah, but criticism. That well, actually, if you Google Sinclair Media Group, the top story that comes up is something that was uncovered in the last year of local news anchors all over the country being forced to read a script verbatim and pass off as news. Whether you were in Montana, Illinois, New York, a lot of their stations are
Understood.
In the South and the Midwest. If there was some example of NBC, CBS, mm-hmm. someone who owned a bunch of news stations doing the same thing, I promise you, as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, that even if I agreed with that message, I'd have a problem with that journalistically.
Okay. Those of you who texted have been answered.
And so you can disagree. You can not believe me.
They don't.
That's fine. But give me the example of a company, corporation that owns media outlets, hundreds of them, that forces editorial commentary into newscasts that is the left equivalent of it.
I can think of a television outlet that I can assume that is across the board from the left, but I don't think they're being mandated.
But that's not the same thing. The fact that MSNBC leans left or that Fox News leans right, that's not what I'm talking about here.
Well, if they're forced to read something someone else wrote for them, it would be. What I'm saying is I don't think that's the case.
Correct. I don't think it is either, but having a political slant for a news organization is obviously nothing new. We'd all like it to be completely neutral and fair and balanced. That doesn't exist. But this is different because it is forced commentary
yeah.
under the guise of news. Now, and again, let me be very clear. I do not expect there to be a political bent in Cubs TV. I am thrilled that Cubs TV is launching. I think it will be good overall for the local sports fan and Cubs fans overall. It will generate more money for the Cubs, which will allow them to sign more players, which will allow them to have a higher operating budget. It will employ more media people.
Mm-hmm.
New York really is the only market that has two viable local sports TV entities. They've got the MSG Network and they've got the YES Network. Boston has NESN, the Northeast Sports Network. But like most cities don't have two viable ones. We should, assuming this works, have two viable, profitable local TV sports channels, which is going to be great for the sports fan. More jobs, more competition, more programming,
more content,
more local content. So let me be very, very clear in that I am happy this is happening. Do I love that they're associated with Sinclair that doesn't have the greatest journalistic reputation? No, but as I said before, if you follow the money with your favorite sports team, your favorite music group, your favorite clothing brand, your favorite food, mm-hmm. whatever, you're likely to end up disappointed somewhere along the way, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on.
Here is my hope for Cubs television, Danny, and I'm glad NBC Sports Chicago is going to have somebody on the other side of the street to challenge them for local sports viewers. I think historically, NBC, whether it was Sports Channel or Sports Vision, any incarnation.
Comcast, Sportsnet,
yes,
NBC Chicago.
All of those, yeah. 665 for DirecTV customers.
Sure.
They have done a really nice job, I think, with their 6 p.m. show, Sports Talk Live. I think that is a pretty good show.
Oh, yeah.
I think the pregame hosts and the analysts over the years have been pretty doggone good. And they've gotten away because they didn't have a competitor like Cubs Television for underpaying the talent. Now it's not Mark Giangreco A-list talent, but Pat Boyle, those are guys who have skills and they've been underpaid. And the Steve Conroys of the world, the Kendall Gill, they have been underpaid also. Now comes Cubs Television to potentially put, I'm hoping they are committed to making a challenge to off game programming to threaten some of the things that NBC Sports does. Because what NBC Sports does locally when it's not regurgitating last night's game, for those who missed it, and I think that's valuable, is waste their broadcast day. Nobody is watching coaches' shows from Iowa State. Or you know, all of the, and they're committed to some of it, but that's their fault that they committed to it in a market this size.
Yeah, the media landscape has changed in a big way. So I'm sure that both networks, in order to fill 24/7, 365, are going to have to put on some content that they have a zero expectation of ratings. That's just my guess based on the reality of the landscape. But
if you're getting in the game, man, put your best foot there.
I agree.
Don't have a stinky product, Corky St. Clair.
I agree. And there's lots of opportunities. There's obviously we have a skin in the game for simulcasting of radio shows. That has been profitable.
It's ridiculous that's not been done, but for a very short time in this town. It's done in other markets, big and smaller than ours.
Correct. And it's about as cheap a programming as you could possibly get.
It's... Well, hold on.
Well, no, but I'm
we'll get to that.
Well, no, but I'm saying compared to a studio show or a rights fee for a game or something, you know, you're already doing the show.
When the short-lived The Game came on the air in Chicago, and I didn't have the heart to call Ben Finfer and tell him I couldn't get it in my brand new truck because the frequency started a notch above where, I don't even remember where it was positioned. I couldn't get it in my truck.
The game was 87.7.
87.7, yeah. It's many vehicles, new ones, started 87.9. Oops. That'll keep you from getting a team contract. Anyway, where the hell was I going with this thing? What I didn't recognize was the power that was held by David Kaplan and David Haw in the morning position. If you walked in, or at midday, whatever it
they
was.
They were 9 to noon.
They were 9 to noon. Okay. When you walked into a health club and you go to the cardio area, there are 12 monitors, their show was on. When you walk in a saloon, that show is on.
Yep.
That show is on all over from Milwaukee to Maryville. They're getting exposure for that show. I didn't see that coming, and it was like, you know, why in the world hasn't a radio station partnered with a television station and done more of that, as it's done in markets that demand live and local sports?
I think it's coming, to be honest with you. I think it's coming because Stadium is based here, right? They want to continue to grow.
They aren't even close to reaching the tipping point.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying media is trying to figure out how to balance the need of live, local, 24/7 programming, like turn it on and there's live content, and the on-demand world of I just want to watch something and I'll pull it up on my phone. Stadium right now is doing a combination of both. A lot of it's on demand. They've got some live programming. NBC Sports Chicago is all it's live programming, and then some of their web stuff is on demand. We're trying to figure it out. We're in a weird time with media right now because of this little thing called the internet and apps and phones.
20 years changing businesses all over this country.
Yeah,
all of them.
So we're in a weird time. But I do think that in general for sports fans, Cubs TV, the marquee network, is going to be a really good thing. I think that it's going to force competition. I think it's going to make people are going to leave NBC Chicago to work at Marquee Network.
I know.
I mean, Kelly Kroll, John Greenberg's wrote about this at The Athletic. She is an awesome reporter.
She's very good.
Who can host a television show, ask a follow-up question, and seamlessly go between baseball and the NBA. That's not an easy thing to do. She's going to be an in-demand television hire.
And, you know, and it's an opportunity for somebody to take Teddy Greenstein off the cushiest beat the Chicago Tribune has ever created and pay him what he should be getting for doing sports on television. I think he would be terrific in an all-purpose role.
Yeah.
I always have felt that way. And he looks the part more than most of us who write or broadcast sports on the radio look. That would be good. It has been suggested already that exist a potential for this show to be a part of it, of Cubs television.
Okay.
And it's never something I've desired. While Brian Gertz does a great job on the Facebook stream, we don't promote it a lot. From Jump Street, for me, it was an intrusion. Radio has been, always will be for me, in my head, theater of the mind, and people don't need to see what goes on behind the curtains. That's why we do remote broadcasts. It's a long shot. From my standpoint, because everything would change if they approached us about taking the afternoon show there. We the studio needs to be worked. It's not a headache I really want because it's a lot more work. It's hiring extra people for our show. We would need more in-studio guests. We need somebody with technical experience to direct it because I'm not going to sit there and do Wayne's World and be laughed at all over the place. You would need to, well, at least the neck. Lose the neck.
Then it's going.
Good.
It's
good.
Leaving soon.
We could do it on the air before 6.
Yeah.
Dry.
No.
Yeah, just like Rambo got.
With a knife?
Yeah.
Just like Rambo.
Right, in that jerkwater town.
Yeah, no, not interested.
Yeah, but the initial number I saw, what this could mean, keep going.
So you know more about it than I do.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the number.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's not important, but you're dreaming. They would be that's a dream. That's not going to happen at that tariff. You don't get us for that tariff.
Okay. Yeah, so you're my agent.
You want
on
us for yes, all of our agents, everybody's salaries double.
Oh.
It's a second job. It is from the day we start planning it a second job. It's not a hobby doing a television show. I don't desire. This is the ultimate leverage. I don't want the job. Leverage is not having another offer. It's just not wanting to take an offer. If they're serious about it, I'll listen, but keep going.
What if we all want the job?
Who's coming with me?
Then, as Doc Holliday said to his best girl when he was told by the doctor, I guess we have to reconsider the our nature of our association.
That's right.
Yeah,
that would
be unfortunate. I certainly would hate it if television got in the way.
No, it's a radio show, man.
It's a radio show.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, guys, you know, it's never been something I'll do it, but it's a lot of work.
It's not
a hobby. It's a job.
I've never done it. I I expect that to be part of it. I have no idea about this show or anything like that, but I expect, how do you fill two 24/7 local sports talkers without simulcasting?
You gotta.
You know what I mean? I would think you would have to.
If you're doing it right.
Yeah.
You know, or you could replay Zambrano's no-hitter against the Astros in Milwaukee.
That was a sweet game.
You know, and they should replay that. That's a cool thing. In the offseason, they should give you those opportunities.
Overnights, game of the week, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Replays there.
What do you think? People watch Kerry Wood's 20-strikeout game or a Bulls team that has 13 wins?
Well, you replay old games. Then you have other people in here staff the Cubs specialty shows.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through like the memorabilia with Les Grobstein. Talks 84 Cubs and brings out scorecards and programs and souvenirs from that.
Ryan Dempster's already stumping for a gig. Sullivan had quotes from him in the Trib today.
He should try to be funny first, and then maybe he'll get one.
Oh, come on!
Oh!
How about that
That's
guy?
That's a guy who fell out of favor real fast.
He was great at Cubs convention.
He has some charm. Some people, I don't know this to be true, but which means I probably shouldn't say it, but I will because I've heard it enough that he's a fake good guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard that. You heard that, Chef?
I've heard
You're
that
nodding.
Before. Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't know it to be true, but enough people have said it where I feel, and people I find unimpeachable who would say those sort
of
things.
I just don't like the Harry Carey thing. Like, I never found that. I didn't find Will Ferrell's impression funny because I didn't think it, I never thought that was good or funny. And Ryan Dempster's is a cheap knockoff of that.
All right, compels!
Exactly.
What a great day out here!
We all can agree this was bad.
Budweiser bleachers.
He does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
I'll defend him.
Yeah, he hasn't done that in a long time.
We ask our athletes to be colorful and not spit out cliches. At least he made the effort. It's not fair.
I mean, it's kind of like a one-trick pony type of thing because he did it on the Fox national broadcasts and whatnot. Like, new material.
I wish there were more guys.
Cubs convention material was good, according to Danny.
Cubs convention material was good. I mean, he was helped by Bryant, and they had a lot of guests up there. But he wasn't.
Chris Bryant always leaves them all laughing.
No, the St. Louis line.
Oh, okay.
The St. Louis line was the thing that Dempster got out
Chris
of.
Chris Bryant lights up a room like Robin Ventura did.
People say you should put Grobber on the overnights of Cubs TV.
I'll pack him in.
Hey, it's overnight programming.
Line up there, that's
a studio camera you need to watch.
Do it. Yeah, you never know.
This segment brought...
Capture history.
I'm telling you, man, this is going to be good for all of us. It's going to be good for all of us.
Yeah, I don't desire television. For those who do, and if you have sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, friends who've been looking for an opportunity, Cubs television is 1 year away from launching. There aren't many opportunities that come up in media these days. Here is one. Have them seize the moment.
This segment brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Good treasury management is good business, but there's a secret. At many banks, it's cookie cutter and costly. At Lakeside Bank, they custom design programs for each client and save them money. Call Lakeside Bank. Learn the secret to real treasury management. Lakeside Bank. It's about time. We are McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Look at you, all happy, throwing haymakers.
Ah, studying the millennial concepts.
Thank you.
Fitting in everywhere I go.
It's really been an interesting offseason, whether it's texting or calling or actually studying the millennial concept.
Having millennials helps me relate to you guys. I've seen all your movies, everything you guys grew up with. Paul Rudd today was on Good Morning Football for an hour. It was fantastic. Kyle Brandt has his man crush has been realized. They're pals now. It was really good stuff.
You think you've seen what do you then notice in the millennial? Because I think that sometimes we get written and talked about as if we're some sort of foreign species that's invaded the planet when really we are just a product of what has been left for us, which is we'll be the
some of it by your choice.
Yeah, of course there's responsibility there, but
any stereotype, I think stereotypes by and large, while it's unfair, are earned. If a percentage is slightly over half, then everybody must, right? All millennials must not be able to have communications because they've spent their entire lives communicating with their thumbs. That's not fair.
No.
It's, you know.
It is not fair.
All millennials. Oh, you're a millennial. You must be lazy. You know, it's not fair. It's whatever line of work you're in, whether it's talk radio or you're a tradesman, it's just simply untrue.
Well, and we will be the first generation statistically that'll make less money, earn less money than our parents' generation, first in the history of the country.
That I'm okay with.
And we
I'm
will
just
be,
kidding.
And we will be saddled with more student loan debt than any generation ever before. So that's why we're later to home ownership, and that's why they've had to expand healthcare to stay on your parents' healthcare and all sorts of things, because the wages have not gone up commensurate with the number of millennials entering the workforce.
Yeah. I will say something incredibly positive about your generation that needs to be said more than mine, more than the one that followed mine. Your generation, again, and I'm stereotyping here, but I'll do it because it's positive, has much more sensitivity to inclusion and the obliteration of bigotry.
We're trying.
Yeah. Thank you.
There are still plenty of young people in Charlottesville.
And gun control, too.
We're trying.
Things that we were too stupid to acknowledge, you know, and passed on. And now, you know, where we are with guns in this country, it's the biggest problem in this country.
It's among them. Yeah. We know we're trying. You know,
nice job, fellas.
I'm a believer that if you go back look throughout history, that every older generation thought that the next generation that came after it was the beginning of the downfall of society.
Well, sure.
People thought that Elvis was going to ruin things with hip shaking. People thought that rock and roll and drug use and rampant protest in the 70s was going to be the worst thing that ever happened.
It's the music of the devil.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The metal era was you were all devil worshipers and you were going to lead some sort of lemming march off of a cliff.
Sure.
So, you know,
when I was a kid, everybody says
it. Exactly. So I don't take it personally, except it's just, you know. Just to have a little bit of appreciation for that you felt the same way when you were a kid.
What I think the critics of millennials and Gen Xers, it's not all your fault. You know, the way things were done when I was a kid to get a job, we didn't, and I'm talking about a first job when you're in high school. You had to go and meet a guy and shake his hand, a restaurant manager or whatever. You had restaurant jobs.
Yeah.
And you had to make an impression. Now it's all done online. My son, my youngest, was having a tough time getting a job. I applied online. Well, online, you don't get a chance to look that person in the eye, offer a firm handshake, and say, hi, here's who I am. I dream of making your fries. That's what I always said.
Dream of making the fries?
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough dream to have.
I grew up wanting to wash your dishes. I convinced every restaurant manager in my hometown that I and got jobs for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Got enough money to buy some albums, some Hawks tickets, some ganj, and quit. And now, moved on to the next joint in four weeks.
And now we have LinkedIn. And the ability to apply online.
Right, but it has cost millennials and the generation that's following you that skill set. But it's not your fault. It's the way corporate America has insisted on the employment process.
Correct. It's a product of the generation. It's a Can't Do It Wednesday at 4 o'clock. John Morosi will join us after that. Yu Darvish spoke in English on his physical and mental health. You'll hear it coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.